You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 104. I'm Dan Hammond. And this week, my co-host, what do you do if you live in Risa? Where do you go for vacation? Apparently you go to Rurapente and ski on the slopes, because that's where he is. I have a guest host here today. He goes by Jared on the boards. Jared, say hello.
Hello, folks.
What is your last name?
Furhow.
And you're kind of in one of the big Midwest playgroup, right?
Yes.
How many people come to one of your typical tournaments?
Typically, we have tournaments every week that average between 4 and 6. Sometimes we hit as high as 8 for our weekly ones. And regionals, we're expecting anywhere from about 12 to 16 at each of them.
Nice. Do you run the events? I see you're a level 1 judge, so you could. Do you run them, or you can trade off? What's the deal out there?
Well, where I do some of the running is in Fargo, and the non-league stuff right now is all me, and Matt Hayes runs the leagues for us.
Okay. Well, the reason we brought you on is because regional season is coming up, and I'm looking at your board list here. There are 3 regional badges for 2009 and 2 regional badges for 2010. All 2E?
Yes.
Are you a 1E player at all?
I have issues with 1E.
Okay.
It's called Supernova.
Yeah, that's pretty rough.
Especially when you don't know about it.
Yeah. There are a lot of things in 1E that are bad if you don't know about them. It's one of the problems, I think. Are you planning on playing in a 1E regional this year?
Maybe if I can get my board tuned up enough.
Fellow war player, I don't want to tip my hat, but that's probably what I'm going to end up doing. I've had a lot of success with my stop first contact deck. What do you typically play?
For 2E, I typically play Borg Assimilation. And, well, Matt Hayes still puts in 3 copies of Rescue Captives every single game because he's fearful of my cardies.
So a lot of interaction then?
Yes. I hate... My distaste for 1E starts with the whole draw-go scenario.
Okay.
Play card, draw card. I don't like that. I like stuff where I get to do stuff and I get to make my opponents make choices or be scared of the choices I make.
So a straight speed solver versus speed solver is not your good idea of a good time?
No, not unless there's something more to it. Like if there's a lot of skill cheating or sneaking stuff into play, I can go with it. But beyond that, not really. The closest thing to a speed solver I'll typically ever run is going to be TOS or Central Command.
Okay. Well, with regionals coming up, would it be a surprise to say that you might be playing Borg?
Oh, I am. I'm 100% playing Borg in at least one of the 2 or 3 events I will be playing.
Well, tell me, we here in San Diego, one of the things that one of our, you know, our meta is you bring a different deck every time, a different affiliation. You know, when the season rolls over from regional to regional, you know, kind of the clock kind of resets, and you can you can play something you've played before, but if you play something again and again and again, and it looks like you're on your way to getting that, what is it, the achievement to play Borg over and over again?
The one I'm currently shooting for, which I will be the first person to get, is one with the Borg. Play them in 10 tournaments. Yeah. I've already got the 5. Nice. And this week, as of we're recording this, tomorrow I will get number 6.
Awesome. Do you find it's, I don't want to say difficult, but it gets a little repetitive when your opponent seems to know what you're going to be playing next?
No, because, to be quite honest, I don't think that people in general, in most card games even, not just Star Trek, but in anything, don't adapt as well as they could have to knowing something. If I play Borg for 3 weeks in a row, I expect that by week four, somebody has found something that is meant to screw me over, which I generally don't see.
Really? I think we had a player down here in San Diego who played, at first there was a streak of playing Bajoran over and over and over again. And, you know, if it wins every tournament, there's not much we could do. It was on us to try to figure out some way of beating it. And then it turned into, Bran and Thieves. And that was that over and over and over again. And eventually we adapted and that player kind of changed and went on to something else. Do you find opponents just throwing in a couple, the captain's guest, you know, just in case?
I love the captain's guest, and actually, I think a lot of our playgroup loves them too. It just happens to be a really good card, because it's good against a lot of things. For instance, the Defiant deck, there's so many commanders for that ship. You can just call Defiant Commander, you can call Senators against Romulans, Legates or Gulls against Cardassians. Borg gets a 3-man auto stop unless you happen to select, like, Locutus Queen and Data.
Right.
I mean, the chances of somebody actually having all three of those get selected in least a 6-man team is ridiculously low.
Yeah, you'd have to rely on a lot of assimilated personnel, and in that case, you probably wouldn't throw it.
Red shirts are dying. The red shirts are dying. The red shirts are dying. We beam down, but not back. Before the break.
What, do you ever play off the fact that your opponent thinks they're expecting you to play Borg and you go do something else?
I hide nothing about what I play.
You got to bring out the OTSD box with a big Borg on top and just let it go.
Actually, I only own 2 OTSD boxes and they're fed in Klingon, because that happens to be what I was sent.
Okay. Well, what?
I'm not skilled enough with creases.
So it's safe to say that you're probably playing Borg in one of the regionals you're playing in. How has your deck evolved over the last few months? And do you continue playing it in like tune-up events up until the actual regional?
Well, generally my feeling, being a long-time card player since the early days of Star Wars Decipher and moving on into, I think I've played about 10 different games, and I played Magic for a long time competitively. Once it hits about January with Star Trek, I stop messing around with the affiliations and really move into the mode of tuning everything for regionals. And I think a lot of people do that as well. You know, I don't think, this month and last month, you're going to run into a lot of people who are just trying out random things. I think you're going to run into a lot of them, at least the ones that plan in playing your regionals and wanting to win them. are the ones that are going to be playing at least once or twice the same deck over again. And they're just going to change small things about it. Because there's only certain affiliations, there's only so many ways you can play them. No matter what somebody tells you, it's a different deck or not.
Sure.
I mean, there's really only three Starfleet decks, so.
Right. Well, when you're planning for one of your regionals, I know that in planning for mine, I know that there's going to be one player who's going to bring a very large deck that's going to be kind of like a Swiss Army knife and usually does very well. I know there's going to be another player who plays just the almost the absolute minimum, and it's just going to be a speedy just machine. There's going to be a player who's going to go do something crazy. There's going to be a player who is just going to have a great time, and it's going to be me. You know, those are the guaranteed people who I know who are going to be there. And when I'm putting my deck together, I'm thinking, okay, what am I going to do to try to slow down the great big deck? What am I going to do to try to burn through some of the cards in the little deck and make him pay for playing a small deck size? Do you have any plans going into your regional? Can you pick out, you know, I know this guy is going to be playing this, so I'm going to try to do something against that. I know when I go up and play in that regional, I'm going to have to face someone who plays like this, and this is what I'm going to do there. How much planning goes into the deck based on your meta?
The meta, I don't pay a lot of attention to the meta in general, except for regionals. And a lot of it's about who I'm looking to take down, who I perceive as a threat. Our last year's winner, Chris Sonsby, he's going to bring something fast, and it's going to be out of the gate. So I know I got to bring something that at least can get out on the board by the time he's trying to solve missions and do things. We don't have a lot of people that will play huge decks, except for me. I've been known to break the 150 barrier before.
Yikes.
Yeah, shuffling that's a nightmare.
Yeah, you need one of those card shoes.
But when you can download 4 to 5 things a turn sometimes, it's just a matter of having one of everything in there.
Yeah, you get what you need when you need it, right?
Right. Myself, I generally play closer to the line. I mean, when I get up to 45 cards in a deck, I think I'm going too high. And
That's funny. That's about what I shoot for as well. Once I hit around 42, I'm thinking, okay, if I'm going to add anything else, I need to start taking things out. That's funny. Yeah, so continue.
But a lot of that's coming from my years playing Magic and other games where, since the original Star Wars, you couldn't go over 60 cards. That was your limit. It had to be exactly 60. In Magic, you don't want more than 60. So it's just been ingrained that the faster you can get to something, unless you have an absolute purpose for having it larger, the better off your deck's going to be.
You sure? You can maximize your the draws of the cards you want, and you know, since there's a deck limit, having a minimal deck size means you'll draw into those cards faster, right?
Of course. And then you put in stuff that'll just get you to there faster. For instance, I think the first incarnation of my current board build ran 35 cards and assimilated on average about 7 people on my first attempt to assimilate them.
Wow, that's kind of impressive. Was that something where you'd throw out just enough dilemmas so they would probably solve next time, but you're definitely going to solve them this time? You're definitely going to stop them this time, and then you run over, do a bunch of interrupts, maybe a battle, and then get a bunch of people, and then run away?
No. Actually,
that's the way I usually played it, and I've had some success, but if I miss and if I whiff on that first one, usually it's something tough to recover from.
Well, generally in that build, my problem I ran into was that my opponent would always get the first mission attempt because I didn't put much thought into the dilemma pile. But they would also generally not have enough people to get their second one. And then my team would go over there and destaff them. Because when you can play Unrelenting on your first attempt over there and you get to pick who you take out and you just start plucking away command stars, especially if they got something like a Defiant class ship, they're not going anywhere.
Right.
The red shirts are dying. 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 I ain't lying. What they telling you? Buying while the captain's satisfying is itching to ditch with some green skin bitch. And the Federation grows increasingly rich. Oh.
So where did you go on from there? So what does your simulation deck typically do?
Typically, the plan works like this. I keep playing stuff until they go out and do something. The only time I attempt a mission with it before then, generally, is if I've drawn up enough cards that I can pitch my Harvest Drones and then send my queen into dilemmas to bring in the Harvest Drones for my cheapies.
Right.
Because when my Harvest Drones only cost me effectively one card or one counter each turn, then they're highly effective. So the typical,
One of the problems I ran into when I did something similar, I built up and sat and waited, is my opponent would do the same thing, and then they would just turtle up and wait till they had, you know, two ships and two full crews, and then just go out and try to outrace me in that one turn. I found that the build that I was playing wasn't particularly adept at actually doing missions until I had captured and assimilated a few people. Is yours tuned so that you can actually get something done without assimilating if you have to?
Oh, most definitely. The current build of the deck only solves two missions, and they're the simplest missions the board can get, and that's elude Federation forces and plot invasion to win. You need effectively four skills in the entire deck. You need transport, security, astrometrics, and navigation. That's it.
And security you want for your assimilating anyway, right?
In my early versions, yes.
Okay.
In my most recent version, I don't even use it for that.
Really?
My early versions would go over, and if I'm trying to remember the setup off the top of my head here, I generally like to drop the Harvest Drones off at an HQ, because Harvest Drones don't have the headquarters restriction on them. And then what I'd do is I'd run over, I'd send a pair of invasives over so I could get people back to my ship too. The first one would sit there and they would take two guys with abduction. This is, of course, optimal setup. Then they'd beam one of the guys back. Unrelenting would allow me to stop the guy on my ship and then pick their guy to grab another one. My three Harvest Drones would grab three people off the headquarters at their cost. At that point, I've got six of their guys, and then I throw in a battle event and steal number seven. And then there's always, if I happen to be holding a Reborn or another Unrelenting, and a way to get a guy back over.
Okay. So you've got a bunch of their guys. You've got pretty easy missions. Are you using just simple round-the-corner board for points, bonus points for having assimilated people?
What I typically do now, as opposed to early on, is I'll run Biodistinctiveness and the Perfect Tool. The Perfect Tool says I now get to spend 14 counters a turn because I have seven of your guys.
Right. Okay.
And Biodistinctiveness says all my guys' base stats are 12 because I put seven of them on the event. So I send in three guys to solve my 30-point mission.
Well, that's pretty good. Do you have to worry about... well, that's interesting, because I was using knowledge and experience and things like that, but if you throw all your guys on biological distinctness, all your guys are plus seven or whatever anyway, so you're probably not going to see very many dilemmas.
Right, and the only time that really changes is I'll typically leave maybe one or two guys off of it, but I'll send a good portion because getting, especially if I can get them up to the point where they're at least sevens so I can walk through the dice.
Yeah.
That's generally a pretty popular dilemma. It's a pretty much an auto-give to a board player unless they happen to be playing four of nine.
Right. The one random integrity seven guy.
That also has honor.
Of course. course. So how have these Borg decks been doing in the last couple tournaments as you're tuning them and as they're evolving or adapting?
Well, the evolving part is they've always come shy of winning. They'll beat one or two people and they'll typically get about second place generally. And that's just because they happen to not beat the right people, or I miscalculate, like Equinox, I at least twice have miscalculated whether or not they could cheat the skills properly for their last mission, and that's cost me the game a couple times. I de-staffed one of our players 2 weeks in a row and won the game against him because of it. All I had to do was get three very particular guys from him, and he was just gone. And once you're de-staffed, there's a huge setback of turns, because most people, in my experience, are going to run two or three of the same ship and then one other ship.
Right. So one that you want to get out quickly and then one for late game shuttling.
Right. If you start off with the good ship and de-staff it, they're digging for one particular card in their entire deck. And they're just going to spend the next 3 to 4 turns spending 7 counters to draw, typically. Just because they need to hit that ship.
Right. Well, how do you feel about going into, how many regionals do you think you'd be playing in the season?
Well, at this point, I'll be playing in the Fargo one, which I'm also running, pending, of course, we don't have too many people that it makes it unreasonable. I've decided I'm definitely playing regardless if it's, even no matter how high it gets, I'm going to play if we have an odd number, because I hate buys.
Yes, agreed.
I hate them with a passion. But then it comes down to, I'm going to play in at least South Dakota, maybe Minnesota, depending on how funds look, being as I do want to hit up Gen Con this year.
Excellent. Well, we'll see you there. So I'm trying to figure out, I'm going to the Santa Barbara Regional, which is about 3 hours away. For their 2E and their 1E regional, but how much travel does that net you in those? If you went to all, what, three, how much travel would that be for you?
Well, Fargo's where I live, so that's nothing. The cities and Sioux Falls are both 4 hours from here, and we've got a pretty good crew. Most of those regionals are going to see at least 50% of the same people, with the additional people that obviously can't make it to one or the other. Mm-hmm. And South Dakota is actually top of my list, just because I really enjoy playing with the people out there.
Which do you think is going to have the most competition?
Most competition? Yeah, it depends on who you are.
That's a very diplomatic answer.
If you ask the Minnesota crew, they'll claim they have the highest number of world champions, therefore they're the highest competition, as always. And to a point, sure, they can go with that. But to be honest, it comes down to who's playing what. If, for instance, if you win the first regional you go to, after that you can start playing stuff that's more fun or annoying to people. Or
sure.
Doing things you just want to do.
I can see that.
Whereas, if it comes down to it's your only regional you're going to get to, you're going to find the most hardcore deck you can find and just throw down.
Play to win, right.
you know, get a little Karate Kid background music going while you're building the deck. You're the best. I won't punish you with my singing. Really, I won't.
And we all win. Very good. So, then Road to Worlds, are you and a bunch of people coming out? What's the outlook look like for your Worlds going to Gen Con?
Well, right now it's me, and unless something changes, Matthew Hayes sounds like he's going to be my only roadie so far for Trek people. I'm since I do play multiple games down at my local store, I do have a good line into a lot of people, so the travel out there, we're definitely going to have a decent-sized group, I hope, just because, you know, it's more fun the more people you go with.
Certainly. We're hoping we can get a group of four of us so we can get a room, and we'll probably be flying up because San Diego is quite a ways. But
drive on through. We can meet up.
You know, 5-6 years ago, Rogue and I did the drive from San Francisco to... We drove to Milwaukee because that's where Gen Con was. We did that like 3 years in a row. And I'll tell you what.
Yeah, because it was only there 3 years.
I never need to do that again.
So if you got going through South Dakota and Montana, it's like driving the same 10 feet of nothing for like 7 hours.
There was a lot of caffeine had on that trip so that we could stay awake, let me tell you. But had I known that there were places to, I mean, It sounds like someone's planning a trip, a whirlwind trip this spring to hit up a bunch of areas to plan it out. So there were, you know, stops on the way to play cards, you know, here and there in random different metas and different groups. That would have been awesome. I think that's one of those, when we retire, you know, you get in a car and you drive from tournament to tournament around the world.
Yeah, my only hope is for Worlds I can finish my favorite dilemma pile. 27 copies of Infestation.
I think that card needs to be printable so that you can actually do that.
If it was printable, I'd have 500 of them. And then inform my opponent I don't need to shuffle because it's already shuffled.
Yeah. Do you want to cut? There you go. I think I managed about 9 or 10 copies of that, and that's about it. That was about the limit.
I've got 14 right now sitting in front of me.
Well, if only two of you from all those groups are going, think of all the infestations you can harvest from them and take with you.
No, I've already harvested all that.
Very good.
It is an uncommon, I believe. Yes, it is.
Was that from? Was that from the Voyagers?
13, so I think that's Mirror Darkly.
Okay.
I think so.
Very good.
I don't think I play with anything Mirror Darkly, so I don't really know.
Well, I would like to thank you for coming on the show this week. I believe I've reached the end of my intelligence, and I think we're going to wrap things up. So I would like to wish you the best of luck in your quest for regional glory. We will. How about this? How about we have you back after the regional season is over? Probably right before Continentals, whenever that is, and we'll talk about how it went.
Not a problem. I would love to come back.
All right, excellent. Then for my out on vacation partner, Sir Rogue, I am Sir Dan, and I'd like to thank Jared once again. Thank TK, our producer who puts the show together, and Warp 11 for letting us use the music that we do. I guess I will wish everyone to expand your power in the universe, and then I will draw 104 to end.